Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and Mama, oh my goodness, I tuned in at 10 minutes till 8, and there were already 37 of you on that I may have missed, but we have 42 states, Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, welcome, the Netherlands, welcome, several from Ontario, Mississauga, Manitoba, and we have Washington, D.C., did I say that? So, we're very representative today. And Shelley, are you on here as a co-host? I had invited her to be on as a co-host. I don't know if she got it all straight what to do. But anyway, Shelley and I are just back from Washington, D.C. Actually, we came back last Friday, and it was quite a time. I know that some of you read my blog about that trip. We had been invited by Israel. The Knesset has sponsored several members of the Knesset, that's their government, had sponsored a Jerusalem prayer breakfast. And so they had asked me to be on the board of that. And they brought six ministers with portfolio, that's members of the parliament. They brought them to observe our national prayer breakfast, which we have. And I was not planning to go to the national prayer breakfast, but since the others had come and they invited me, well, I quickly asked our Senator Roy Blunt if he could get me a ticket. And he said, oh, the time for that passed long ago, but he got us one, just one. Shelley didn't get into that, but she was in all the Israeli things.
Mom,
and yeah, now I can hear you, Shell. Are you on?
Yes, I am. Boker Tov.
Okay.
Shalom.
Yes. And so I'm just telling them, Shelley, about the first thing I wanted to tell you was I told you in that blog how shocked I was when I went into the prayer breakfast and the usher kept leading me down at the front. And I was in the very first row. I was seated at a table. And in the area of the cabinet members, at my table was Senator Roy Blunt, and next to him was Sam Brownback, the former senator and governor of Kansas. And I want to tell you about him and how he needs your prayers. Also at my table were the Ben Carsons and the foreign minister and his wife from Finland. I got to talk to him about what he sees about Russia and the things that are happening in Syria. But back to Senator Sam Brownback. After the prayer breakfast, I was introduced to a lady who is a secretary in the State Department, and she's a spirit-filled Christian. And she said to me, "You must pray for Senator Brownback. He has been just recently signed in on January 24th as ambassador at large for international religious freedom." And this is a State Department position. And she said, oh, you have to pray for him. There's such vitriol. There's such hatred. There's such a deep shadow government in the State Department. And he may be God's choice to help get some of it out, but it will be very hard for him, she said. So, when we think about what 1 Timothy 2:1 says, first of all, pray for those. I'm going to go back up, and I said this last week. I noticed in reading this that it has a lead-in, which comes from 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that you by them might war a good warfare. Then there's a parenthetical couple of verses. I exhort therefore. So when you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. He's talking about warring a good warfare. In order to war a good warfare, you must lift up the leaders. I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honor. A long time ago, actually when I was working for Kennedy Hagin, it came to me this knowledge that Satan is not omnipresent. He is not like God. He cannot be everywhere at one time. And so he does not, colloquially I say, mess with people who are not in a high position. He will come directly against presidents, kings, prime ministers, heads of ministry, great preachers, leaders in the spiritual realm, leaders in the civil realm. He'll come against them. So you hardly know, most of us never know, that direct hit by Satan himself. And so he is trying to work in that State Department. And we must lift up he's now Ambassador Sam Brownback. I promised that lady, she just pled with me, that we would put him on our prayer list. So please do that. Now, of course, you know about the attack. I sent another, well, I wanted to say this before I leave the subject. When I kept being led down to the front, I was shocked, absolutely shocked at my seat. When I wrote the blog back at home, my little grandson Isaac, who is 8 years old, 8 and a half, he proudly tells me, he squealed and told his mother, "We have to call Nene now." And he, every day since I left, had been praying aloud. His mother heard him, asking that the Lord would put me on the front row and that there would be a presence in the prayer breakfast. And he said, "Nene, this morning, the Lord let me feel that presence." We did have a presence in that prayer breakfast. It was indeed a good prayer breakfast, and there were not any prayers made to any other God but our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was an amazing thing. Now, the Iranian attack. Shelley, would you like to say anything about the Middle East meetings we were in?
Yes, I would. We met with Israeli Knesset members. And the man by the name of Robert Eliatov, he spoke and said that, and I took a few little notes. He said, we're talking about Jerusalem. First of all, he introduced the fact that our Jerusalem prayer breakfast was such a success, and they're seeking the mind and the heart of God on how to carry out this plan for Jerusalem prayer breakfast. And so, of course, when you pray for Jerusalem and the wholeness of Jerusalem, you're going to be talking about Iran because of that spirit behind Iran that hates Jerusalem. And so it came up. He said there was a vacuum created. Again, I'm quoting from
yes.
Knesset member Robert.
Mm-hmm.
He said there was a vacuum created in Syria.
And Iraq.
And Iraq. And mm-hmm. with vacuum, it's being filled with Iranians.
Yeah.
So now when you look at the map of Israel and you see where Syria is, you can just write Iran. That is a foothold. And so he said they're filled even now with Iranians, and not only Iranians, but Russians. And he said also we, meaning the Israeli people, don't know how to talk to Iranians. Well, in other words, to have sit down and have conference with them. We don't know how to talk with them because their ideology in the Iranian Revolution changed to that of speaking as the voice of Hitler. You cannot sit down as an Israeli and talk to an Iranian representative who has an ideology as Hitler, which Hitler said, Juden free. Iranians are
mm-hmm.
saying, put them into the sea. Israel no
mm-hmm.
longer exists as a nation. So they're exploring this Russian relationship. And then he went on to say that is the most problematic issue in Israel today is the Iranian issue. And that Iran wants the Mediterranean Sea, that's the Great Sea. And then also presently as we speak, there are 120,000 missiles pointed at Israel.
Now, from Syria, but they are Iranian.
Right, they're Iranian missiles, but they're pointed from this foothold, this vacuum that was created in Syria that's now being filled with Iran and Russia. So it reminds me, Mom, of going back to Ezekiel, and we had prayed this a couple of weeks ago when you were out of town, but it says in Ezekiel 39, and you, son of man, prophesy against Gog. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you. And then it names, O Gog, chief priest, prince ruler of Rosh, of Meshech, which is an ancient name of Moscow, and Tabul. Now, this is what was interesting this morning. And I will turn you about and lead you. I will put hooks in your jaws. And so I looked up that word hooks in the Hebrew, and it's not all the same meaning. For example, one place where the word hook is used, it means to hang the garments, like preparing for the temple. But this word hook is to put hook into an animal's nose. So I'm thinking about in the realm of the spirit, if we could see God putting hooks in the, if we could see behind Iran, behind Russia, putting hooks in those, in that spirit of Gog and Magog, and bringing them down to this, what the Bible says, they'll make an attack on the mountains of Israel, but it also says it'll be won supernaturally with great earthquakes and hailstones, so that the world may know, the nations may know that the Lord God is God. So is prayer.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Shelley, about that. I've been thinking about that too, and I read online in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Prophesies a war, which hasn't been yet. And you can read it yourself and know that. But the thing about it that makes me think this may not be it is because of this. Now, it's leading up to it, I'm quite sure. The stage is set. But it could be, you know, it could be years before it happens. It could be hours. We do know that they put Iran, sent a drone into Israel's airspace, and Israel shot it down. And then they sent in jets, Israel did, to bomb the command which that drone came. And one of their, they lost one of their jets, one of their fighters. And so here's a point I want to make, and I'm taking these things from an article by Monica Showalter. And the article is, flush with pallets of cash from Obama, Iran is taking aim at Israel. And this is in the American Thinker from yesterday. Already we know the Obama-approved cash went to Iran's acts of war against Saudi Arabia through its financing of the Houthi rebels on its southern flank in Yemen. That drove Saudi Arabia to seek help from its military competent northern neighbor Israel. Now we are seeing Iran get itself into a two-front war, initiating it with these fresh and direct attacks on Israel. Now, I want to go way down into her article. Even the Russians in the region are spooked, calling for some kind of calm, which suggests they think the status quo is shifting. Iran's cash from the Obama-brokered Iran deal is now bringing Israel a war. Incredibly, the Obamatons and the foreign policy establishment continue to defend the bad deal. The rest of us look on in horror at the idiocy of giving billions to the mullahs. Of course, that is idiocy. Now, did you get that line, even the Russians in the region are spooked? In Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Russians are the head of the thing. and their first ally is Persia, Iran. But the Russians are the movers here. They seem to be saying standing back. So we do know this, all this activity in that area could precede what Ezekiel 38 and 39. When we pray about this, I think we pray in the, we pray, of course, for the peace of Jerusalem. And like Shelley said, that war, when it does come, it will be short and it will be supernaturally won. But that's one of the things that we're going to be praying for right now. And let's pray about it right now.
Yeah,
Heavenly
pray.
Father, in the name above all names, we see your word. We read your word. We know of your plan for Israel. We lift up the leaders. We lift up the leaders of Israel who have to respond. We lift us in Makarati di Kodanja. We don't want this to be out of time, Lord. Something tells me this is not the right time. O Silibarata, it can't be pushed too quickly. Isana Mokora, it has to be in the timing of God, and you have to be the one, like Shelley said, who's leading them down. You, Rotosa, I don't know Tadabakara Sita, if this is Oshanamaya or not, but in the name above all names, please give us utterance. Give us utterance to pray these things as they should be prayed. Give us ilabratose ne calandi di cohoshabra, istiandobre telicataniete, e jandoto fretalacalatino, Mary, Mary, Mary. Father, in the name above all names, Father, in the name above all names, as we pray today, as we move on through our day, as we move on through our week, a libro sante licatashka, give us the utterance you would have. Is the timing right? Is the timing not right? All things shall be done. All things shall be done according to your will and according to your way. Ilibrasote ne caladisco, in verano ne calacaladino, Abraham avrosita and vashkidi. And don't brasita le Maria, isti anora, isti anora, isti anora. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Well, that was an interesting word there that just came to me, Ishti. It means my wife. So I think that, you know, the bride of Christ is the church, but the bride of the Father, he calls Israel his wife. So I believe we were praying for that in the name above all names. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to, Shelley and I got to go to several, and she talked about the Jerusalem prayer breakfast. That's a prayer breakfast we had in Jerusalem to celebrate the first time. We had it last year. We're going to have it again to celebrate their 70th birthday. And they're thinking of moving those and having them at other cities, moving around the country, around the world, and having people meet to pray for Jerusalem. One of the things we got to do was we got to go to a meeting where, a small meeting, where President Jimmy Morales spoke. And he, as president of Guatemala, in December, I think it was Christmas even or Christmas Eve, he vowed that they would move their embassy to Jerusalem. Very interesting. I got to meet Michael Oren, and we got to be with him and Michelle Bachman, and we were at a meeting where my dear friend, longtime friend, Robert Nagley said, "Have you met the Israeli ambassador to the UN?" I said, "No, I haven't." So he took me up there to meet him, really got to some things that we saw and heard, and people that we met were just an absolute fulfillment of God said, "I'm going to bring you close to the Jews." Now, we have a report from Renan Levy. You know that we had to publish in the news media, I think it was for 15 days, to see if anybody in Migdal had any objections to our building. Nobody filed within the first 15 days. But after the deadline, an attorney filed some objections. And Ronnie reports that the committee met on the public objections and rejected them all. So that is a step forward. And now I'm telling you, folks, we need our place in the north of Jerusalem, in the north of Israel. We need it. We have some ground there now, 3 acres. But I'm talking about prayer ground. And so in the name above all names, I wish you would join me right now to pray for the next steps to be speeded up, for them to be speeded up. There's no sense in our having to wait a long time. In fact, I talked to several of the Israelis who were here and told them about this. And Mr. Ilyatov, Robert Ilyatov, said to me, well, does the mayor like you? And he does. And he said, well, the mayor gets his way in towns in Israel. So we don't want to do anything like go over anybody's head, but this committee, it needs to move on. So will you pray with me now about that? Mm-hmm. In the name above every name, we come to you, Father, and thank you and praise you that you moved on that committee and they rejected the objections. I know you did it. I know you did it. And Father, in the name above all names, we ask you to move on them to speed up the permits we need so that we can get started. And Satan and your cohorts, in the name above all names, the mighty, magnificent name of Yeshua, we here on this phone take authority over you. You will not be able to delay us any longer. I bind you, we bind you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And while you're on it, on a prayer call here, I escaped all the flu and all the things that were going around for a long time and was out and about. Such a busy schedule I've had. And thank God nothing came on me while I was in Washington, D.C. Came home Friday night, took a rest day Saturday, and Sunday, I call it the hopalusis. The hopalusis hopped on me. So I want you to pray right now for me. I'm going to be quiet. Shelley, you lead the prayer.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful word of God that's forever settled in heaven, that Christ has redeemed us through his precious blood, purchased us from the curse of the law, the curse of spiritual death, the curse of poverty, the curse of sickness and disease has been legally handled forever through the precious price of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you that when you were risen from the dead, that you gave us the glorious commission, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast
yes.
out them in my name. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So in that name, above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, we cast off the demon of infirmity. You leave, Mother, right now in the name of Jesus. You
right
take
now.
Your hands off of her. You have no legal right upon her body. Oh,
yes,
the rem-
that's right.
We put up a sign. You know, you've seen these signs in people's yards that says, keep out private property. So in
yes.
the name of Jesus, together, collectively, as the body of Christ, we put up not only on Mother, but all of us. Private
all of us.
Bought by the precious blood of Jesus. It's legal. And you have no right, Satan, and you spirit of infirmity, to cross the bloodline. We and Mom, I thank you that the word is working mightily in your heart, and
yes,
it is affecting your mortal body.
For yes, God, it is.
person. God's word.
The word is working mightily in me.
Yes, and it's working in you. And
hallelujah.
John G. Lake, those plague germs died in his hands, and he said, "That, sir,
is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has set me free from the law of sin and death."
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's praise God. Glory to God.
Praise God. And so we hold fast to our confession. We thank you, Father, that our faith is bringing it about. I remember the testimony of when Brother Hagin years ago had symptoms of the flu. Hands were laid on him. He believed that he received in his heart.
Yes.
Morning, 90% of the symptoms were still on his body. But by faith, faith is the substance of things not felt. So he started walking toward a sister's house to pray for her. She had some symptoms. He said, "I walked for over a mile. I thought I'd fall dead in my tracks." But he said, "My faith," he held on to his confession, "is giving substance to it. My words are giving substance to it." So I encourage everyone listening, hold fast your confession. It is a good fight, and it is a fight of faith. And I love what Mom said, "For the law of the Spirit of life
in Christ Jesus."
That's what we're going to hold fast to.
We're holding fast to. And I'm way, 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 way better. This is a short lived thing.
Yeah. I could tell by the way you said
The flu.
Way.
No.
Yeah, your energy and your health.
Yes.
And I just thank you, Lord, for our prayers. I thank you for the prayer force that you have raised up in these last days.
Oh, and don't forget to pray for our president.
Mm-hmm.
Alabracito.
There's a training and ruling and reigning. There's a fresh anointing of eye salve upon the eyes of our inward man to see and to watch in the spirit over those who are in authority and over
yes.
Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you all for joining us today. And we'll be back again next Wednesday. In the meantime, please do remember, first of all, pray for our president, pray for our vice president, pray for those in authority, for the enemy is out to get them.
Yes. And pray for Betsy DeVos in our educational system, Secretary of Education.
Yes, you know, she was seated right next to me. I had to squeeze past her to take my seat. She's a lovely lady. And
wonderful.
So, praise the Lord. Well, I guess we'll be saying shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Bye.